141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Rangers complete the signing of winger Vaclav Cherny. Kilmarnock and St Mirren draw the first leg of their European ties, and Willie Collum says referees will deal with handballs differently in the upcoming Premiership season. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio tonight is Hugh Keevans.
Is Willie Collum suggesting then that they were dealing with handball decisions incorrectly last season? We'll get into that later. Also, Vaclav Cherny, I have no doubt he will be a very decent player. Played with the Czech Republic at the Euros. I just wonder though, Andrew, are Rangers' problems not really further back the pitch?
Yeah, well, maybe you've got some thoughts on that. 0141 951 1025. Whether it is Rangers' new signing, whether it is potential signings at your club, maybe it's a lack of signings at your club that you want to talk about. Kilmarnock fans, St Mirren fans, we want to hear from you on those European games last night. Draws mean that you are both still well alive going into the second legs next week. Willie Collum has been speaking for the first time since he took over as the SFA's head of referees. A few interesting things from him on handballs, on communication between referees and supporters, that type of thing, to help the fan experience. So give us a call, 0141 951 1025, or you can send us a tweet at ClydeSSB. It is the final 1 hour show of the summer, back to 2 hours next week. I'm trying to think whether it's flown in or not, because the Euros seem like a long time ago, but it also seems as if this new season's come around very quickly as well.
Well, I don't know. The Euros, I think, were such a disappointment that it lingers in the mind, but I think club football will take away all thoughts of what happened in Germany. That's such an intriguing start to the season, Andrew. You know, this Rangers side, who in pre-season matches have been awful, at Tynecastle for the first weekend of the season. Celtic, who appear to have been revitalised, re-energised, although they haven't brought in any new players other than the two goalkeepers. They will have Kilmarnock at Celtic Park the following day. So from the very first weekend of the new season, many, many talking points.
Yeah, I think even in the lead-up to those games next weekend, you would expect several things to ramp up. We'll hear from the managers more as they do their pre-match press conferences. You would expect that there will be plenty more signings to come. There's a lot of rumours and speculation at the moment, Rangers making that signing today, but you'd expect both Celtic and Rangers over the next week or so to maybe have one or two coming in, and maybe even more than that going out.
Well, the fans of both clubs will be expecting that. Because as well as domestic competition, Celtic have the Champions League 8 games as opposed to 6. Many, many years of stagnation in Europe for Celtic. They surely want to look at that. With regard to Rangers, I have every belief that Dynamo Kiev will continue their domination of Partizan Belgrade. They're 6-2 in aggregate. Rangers will play Dynamo Kiev. They have got to have a strengthening of the squad prior to that game, which, after all, is a week on Tuesday.
Whatever you want to talk about, 0141 951 1025. We're here from you. As I say, Kilmarnock fans, St Mirren fans, keen to hear what you made of those performances last night. Were you at the game? Were you at Rugby Park, which looked like a good atmosphere? Did you make the journey over to Iceland? We want to hear your thoughts. What do you think going into those second legs next week? Rangers fans, are you happy with that new signing? What else needs to be done? A lot of talk as well about outgoings as well. Looks as if Conor Goldson is about to seal his move to Cyprus. Looks as if Jose Cifuentes is also going to seal a move. He's a sort of lesser spotted. Jose Cifuentes has been away out on loan. Looks as if he might be joining Conor Goldson in Cyprus as well. Sam Lammers could be on the way out too. 0141 951 1025. And Celtic fans, of course, a lot of talk about transfer business, maybe lack of transfer business as well. Let's hear from you. 0141 951 1025. And of course, we'll hear a bit later in the show from Willie Collum speaking for the first time. I'm sure that won't be the last time we say Willie Collum's name on this show this season.
You know my theory, Andrew. I just think that Scotland is the wrong country to have VAR. We just don't accept anybody's opinion about anything. And Willie has got off to a good start by saying the handball law will be interpreted differently next season. You think of the number of, now on reflection, dodgy handball decisions that were given or were not given last season. So Willie, I wish him every success in his job, but come the start of the serious stuff, no one will believe him.
Yeah, a lot of controversy last season, of course, but maybe a new head of referees means a new page has been turned with Scotland and referees and VAR, you never know. 0141 951 1025. Let's start off with John, who's a Celtic fan in Coatbridge. How are you tonight, John?
Good, Andrew. Good evening, Hugh. Good evening, Andrew.
Hi, John.
I'm good. That's good, but this handball rule's going to be looked at. I think that'll be good for the game. But anyway, Hugh, I was just talking to the boy there. We're needing a left back in to play against Greg Taylor out. Plus, I watched the game last night, and going forward, we were brilliant. I think we've now started to implement the way Brendan wants us to play. But at the back, we didn't have a full team at the back, obviously. But we need another centre-half in to play with Carter Vickers. But I thought the goalkeeper looked very dominant, Hugh.
Yeah.
I think Joe replaced Joe Hart very well. He looked really good.
It's a great piece of business by Celtic with regard to Kasper Schmeichel and the Finnish goalkeeper whose name escapes me.
Voyami Sinisalo.
I beg your pardon. But you're right, John. There are very obvious gaps needing to be filled. 8 Champions League games. Celtic must be aware, acutely aware, of their recent times in Europe, and they have not been impressive. And with the greatest respect to Liam Scales, there must surely be plans afoot to bring in somebody to play alongside Cameron Carter-Vickers. Defenders like Liam Scales, Anthony Ralston, Stephen Welsh, they are honest to goodness, serious professionals, but they're not at that level. And Celtic need to address that situation. I know that they have an interest in Hugo Bueno from Wolverhampton Wanderers, but the information I'm getting from the Midlands, Andrew, is that he's not entirely sold on the move up here, and neither are Wolves.
Yeah, John, when you look at the business that has been talked about for Celtic so far in this transfer window, it's been in midfield with Bernardo, it's been up top with Adam Ida, of course, the two goalkeepers as well. Maybe defence has been a bit quieter. Is that a real concern for you? Do you think that the business will get done at some point?
Oh, I certainly think it will. I think Brendan's odds all races this year. But I think that they're talking about the boy, is it O'Shea or something, for Burnley?
Dara O'Shea, yeah.
Dara O'Shea plus a boy for Bournemouth. So I would like one of the two of them in. I mean, I think even the two of them, we've got the money. So I would like to get one in to play alongside Carter Vickers. But can you tell me how Cameron Carter Vickers is not playing now? Is he just getting rested or what?
Yeah, he was at Copa America with the USA, so he's one of the players that's been given a bit of an extended break, Alistair Johnson as well, because he was there with Canada.
Again, it's not a problem for Celtic, but they have to be mindful of the fact that I know that Callum McGregor's back champing at the bit and he had the Euros, but Cameron Carter-Vickers and Alistair Johnson went deep into the summer still playing football. When you mention the other targets that Celtic have in mind, every Celtic fan I have listened to this week on the programme says, I know we've got the money. Well, it's time some of it was spent for me. I just think that, for me, one man's opinion, the response from Celtic has been slow. The two goalkeepers, terrific business, a strategy. One for today, one for seasons thereafter. That's a good piece of business by Celtic. But Bernardo, we are led to believe, is nearly over the line. Ida, all gone quiet. Celtic need another forward beside Kyogo. And for me, the process at Celtic seems to take an eternity.
Is it as urgent for Celtic to get the business done right now? Because it's not as if their squad has been, you know, ripped up and they have to start again. They will start the league campaign with a squad that's very similar to the squad that they had last season. A couple of players out in terms of Bernardo and Ida, who were there on loan. But is that squad not good enough to maybe see out the first month of the season and then going into European qualifiers? If they can get it right during that month, Brendan Rodgers will be happy.
For me, there is an assumption being made all over Scotland that Rangers are in the grubber and won't even finish second. I've heard that so many times on this programme. And the other assumption is that Celtic will canter it. Now, that for me is a dangerous way to approach the start of a new season. Celtic have the funds through terrific business management of the club. But there are obvious gaps. And to assume that Rangers will not be able to rise above the problems that they have at the moment is a dangerous assumption.
How do you view how the title race will go this season, John? I know there's still a lot to happen in terms of the transfer window needs to shut, and there's a lot of games, I say a lot of games to be played, obviously all the games left to be played, but, you know, now, at the moment, with the way the squads are looking, how do you see it going?
Well, obviously Rangers are apparently getting ready, Tavernier, Cantwell, and all these guys, but I don't know much about these boys coming in, but the only thing I would say, the guys that are leaving the club are perennial losers, so maybe these guys that come in, I'll have no fear, but this, obviously the guys that are leaving, they're perennial losers, know what I mean? So I don't know, most of the Rangers fans you hear on here are quite happy that a lot of these guys are going.
I have no doubt, John, that there has been a culture of failure at Ibrox. 12 titles out of the last 13 for Celtic tells you there's a culture of failure. And you're right that those who have gone are those who have been associated with failure. And there is a random aspect to Rangers' business here. You know, as I say, I have no doubt that Vaclav Czerny will be a decent player. But the others that they are interested in, they don't feature defenders, point number one. And they do seem to be looking for deals that are financially viable. In other words, they don't cost any money. I'm not sure that the Rangers fans believe that these guys will turn things around. But the assumption being made that Celtic are already the champions and Rangers might not finish second, I think is a dangerous way to approach a new season.
Well, thank you to John. Kevin, as a Celtic fan up next in Motherwell, what are you thinking tonight, Kevin?
How are you doing, all right?
Good.
Not bad, yourself?
Not bad. Glad to be back to talking about domestic football after the Euros.
You and me both, Kevin.
Just got a couple of points, really. Two points, really. The first point, the main point is just on the transfer window. For me, I'm not really pressing the panic button or anything like that, right? But for me, it's a wee bit concerning that we are Bar Celtic nine days away for the opening game of the season, and we've got one striker. 9 days away for the opening game of the season, and we've only signed two goalkeepers. I'm really underwhelmed at this point. You're starting to get a wee bit worried. I know that Paolo Bernardo, that deal's done. He just needs to pass his medical, so you may as well count him in. He has out of the line. But that's it. I mean, Adam Ida has went all quiet, and what I said to the producer there was, I really hope, and I don't think it is the case, but I hope Brendan Rodgers and the board only putting all their eggs in one basket with Adam Ida. I hope they've got a couple other targets lined up, because if that deal falls through, we've got to be left with Kyogo. Kyogo's got shoulder injury problems, things like that. You can't just rely on the one guy. So it's a concern for me that we've not signed a single outfield player yet. I know there's plenty of time left, but there's only 8 days left to the start of the season, and it's not good enough for me.
I know that people would counter your argument, Kevin, by saying, well, look at Matt Riley scoring goals in America. Look at Nicholas Kuhn, Louis Palma, Kyogo looking twice the player he was last season already. So there's absolutely no room for the word panic in this conversation, none at all, and even the word concern. The only surprise I have is that given the length of time since the end of last season, and given, as you said, Kevin, the close proximity of the new season, it's surprising for me that a club with the wherewithal that Celtic have aren't a little more ahead in terms of their signings for the new season, because Paolo Bernardo was there last season. Paolo Bernardo's got his Scottish Cup medal and his league medal. He was there last season. The two goalkeepers, as I say, terrific business. You take Sigrist out of the equation and Joe Hart retired, and you now have Sinisalo, who is for the future, and you have Kasper Schmeichel, who is looking very, very good, and he's for the present. I just think that Kevin or any other supporter is entitled to say, all well and good, but could we speed this up a little?
Brendan Rodgers is obviously well aware. He's spoken on a few occasions about the striking department, saying that he wants three strikers this season. It looks as if it will be sort of two first-team strikers competing for that number nine spot, and then a younger, more of a project player that can get game time when needed and can develop. The Adam Ida one is a curious case, because I think the 4th of July is when it was last reported Celtic had a rejected bid for Adam Ida. As Kevin says, you've got to expect that surely Celtic have gone down other avenues and are certainly looking at alternative routes as well as Adam Ida at this point.
I think it's only natural that Norwich City, like all football clubs, look at Celtic and think, well, they've got plenty of money.
He's also been starting friendlies for them. They've got a new manager. Maybe it is a case that the new manager has decided that he wants Adam Ida to be his number nine, and all of a sudden, you know, the manager's saying to the board, well, this guy's actually more important to me than he was to the last manager.
That's his prerogative, and if the club want to back their manager, then he won't be going to Celtic. When he was here, the money being asked for him was reportedly 5 million. Now, the last figure I read was 8 million. Now, Celtic are entitled to adhere to their own business principles and say, well, do you know what? 8's too high. And I would respect them for that. But as Kevin said, there will surely be another target somewhere else.
Well, thank you to Kevin. Rangers fans, I want to hear from you on that new signing. Vaclav Černý, the Czech winger, has come in on loan from Wolfsburg today. Maybe you've got some thoughts on the departing players. It looks as if Connor Goldson is about to seal his move to Cyprus. It looks as if Sam Lammers, Jose Cifuentes, Yanis Hadji could all be joining him in exiting Rangers too. And Kilmarnock fans, St Mirren fans, we want to hear from you on those European games last night. Give us a call, 01419511025. While you do that, let me tell you about this. Can you believe it? The first cash register call went to Five Rings. Unanswered, but that's good news for you, because it means it's a rollover. We want to change your life in the next round of the cash register, which is worth a huge £260,000. Here is how to enter. Text YES to 61025. Text are £2 plus your standard network rate. Enter on our website, where online entries are £2, or call 0330 880 4523. Calls are charged at the standard rate. It's over 18s only. Entries since we opened the lines at 6am on the 22nd of July have rolled over. All the rules for this Rail Network competition are on our website. Lines close at 5 o'clock on Friday, when Marvin Humes will be making the call to win. Just answer your phone within Five Rings. Make sure you're by your phone, answer within Five Rings, and tell us this week's cash register amount, which is £260,000, paid into your bank account straight after the call. So text YES to 61025 now.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hear it, watch it. Search the YouTube stream now. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans here with me, Andrew McLean, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard, the final 1 hour show of the summer before we're back to the 2 hour format next week, building up to the first league weekend of the season. Someone that I think will be back next week can bring you some breaking news, actually. Mark Wilson has completed his Mount Kilimanjaro climb. He has made it to the top and back down again.
Well done, him.
For Cash for Kids as well.
Yeah,
for a great cause.
5 days up, 2 days down, I'm told.
It's some effort, isn't it?
Yeah, magnificent. You know, you can laugh as much as you like, but this, that and the other. But that's a real physical effort, and he is to be commended.
Congratulations to Mark Wilson. I'm sure we'll hear all about it when he's back on the show next week. You can get your calls in 01419511025. Rangers fans still waiting to hear your thoughts on the signing of Vaclav Černý, and also the thoughts on some of the outgoings as well. It looks as if that's really heating up, whether it's Connor Goldson, Sam Lammers, Yanis Hadji, Jose Cifuentes as well. Looks as if, you know, I think a lot of people had forgotten that he was even a Rangers player. Looks as if he may be on his way to Cyprus as well. Certainly a report from a Cypriot journalist saying that it would be a loan deal with an obligation to buy as well.
It's a complicated business, isn't it? Because, I mean, Conor Goldson's move to Cyprus has been as convoluted as it gets. You know, with the greatest respect to football in Cyprus, you know, how can it take this long as well? You know, or is it at Rangers' end? But convoluted. And Cifuentes, he comes under the heading of one of Beale's blunders.
I mean, he was a signing that I believe, I remember Michael Beale saying he was the type of signing that would take Rangers to the next level. Clearly hasn't worked out at all, didn't play many games, went on loan to Brazil, was it last season? That's been cut short. Rangers will just be happy to get some sort of payment for him next summer if it is an obligation to buy, because it's clearly not worked out the way that, he's wanting. And that's maybe just a signal of the recruitment that Rangers need to change. They need to get it right in this window. They'll be hoping that Vaclav Cherny and some of the other signings they've made will make more of an impact than the players they brought in last summer.
Rangers need to make the Champions League, Andrew. There lies the winning of the national lottery. There lies the golden ticket, because you get a right few bob. And if Rangers need anything right now, it's a right few bob. So they need to get Dynamo Kiev out the way, and that is much harder than it is to say.
I wonder if Vaclav Cherny is maybe more the level of player that Philip Coman is looking to bring in and make an instant impact, because he's talked, we've mentioned it several times on this show, he's talked about Clinton Insiala, he's talked about Hamza Igamani being young players that aren't quite ready to make an instant impact. He expects that there'll be projects for the future. Vaclav Cherny is an international. I think he scored 6 times and 17 caps for the Czech Republic. He made an appearance at Euro 2024, 20-odd Bundesliga appearances last season, had a very good record for FC 20, it was, I'm sure, in the Dutch top flight as well. He looks more like the type of signing that will be able to slot straight into a starting lineup.
Those who come in to Rangers will require big hearts and strong minds, because next season, if Celtic win the title again, it's 4 in a row for Celtic. Is 55 titles for Celtic, which is a figure that means a lot to the Rangers fans. Therefore, those who come in have got to have mentality that's different class. And as I say, Cherny has pedigree, because he played for his country at the Euros and he's been at a great level. The rest, there's an awful lot of gambling going on.
How many more signings of that level do you think Rangers need to make at the moment, especially when you look at the starting lineup that has been, that's been played in the last couple of friendlies? I know some players have been left out for one reason or another, but when it looks as if there's still going to be a bit of an exodus of players that are going to leave the club in the next, you know, few days, James Tavernier potentially one of them. Conor Goldson certainly looks as if he's on his way. There's still question marks over where Cyril Dessers' future lies. Todd Cantwell looks to be on his way out. Sam Lammers looks to be on his way out as well. And that's not to mention, you know, another couple of players that still could leave.
I cannot overstate the importance of the game against Dynamo Kiev, home and away. There lies access to the Champions League or not, and Rangers need that. And if Conor Goldson and Tavernier go prior to the game which we played in Poland against Kiev, then, you know, I think it, you're looking at a weakened Rangers side, obviously weaker than last season's team.
You've mentioned earlier on when you talked about Vaclav Cherny coming in as a winger, with it, they're not really being the defensive reinforcements that have come in so far, especially when you look at some of the experience they could be losing back there. Do you think that is now the priority area for Philip Clement?
At the back?
Yeah.
Yeah. But time's running out, and the uncertainty, I have to assume that Goldson is on his way. Tavernier has become a mystery. There's been all sorts of speculation. But so far, he's still there. I just think that the important thing is Rangers go to Poland and they have to stay in with a chance of getting into the final qualifying round. And then they get Kiev, and I keep on saying Kiev because I don't believe they'll squander a 6-2 aggregate lead. I just cannot believe that would happen. So it would be the first big test of Hampden Park and Rangers. I know it won't be Ibrox, as Ibrox is on Champions League night, but it'll need to be as close as they can get to give them a chance.
Rangers fans, any thoughts on that? 01419511025. Let's speak to Brian, who's a Celtic fan in Stirling. Brian, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you very much. Good evening, Hugh, yourself, Andrew.
Thank you. I just wanted
to talk about the transfer things. I love this part of the season. I'm sure you do as well, Hugh, but it's your job to speculate and and to get people to listen to the radio. Multi-million pound deals are not going to be decided on the whims of fans that need to know. Do you know what I mean? I think business and the way that Celtic have done business over the last, say, 25 years at least, the guys that are in recruitment or certainly buying the players in, while they may not be working on the whim of the fan, they've certainly done decent jobs so far. They can show you their medals. But the ambition of the fan is really quite... I don't think it's even taken into consideration when they're in the board doing these deals. We, as fans, are there to support, and we want more. We certainly want more, and I understand that the multiple facets of the Celtic support, it goes from left to right and everything in between, and the wishes and wants. As long as they want to support Celtic and the goodness of going forward to getting Celtic, my particular point tonight is how the structure has been very successful. But we need, and I've said this before in other shows, we need to look at going up a level, because if we go up a level, it won't destroy the model which has been successful. It may enhance it. It certainly will take a bit of a wobble to get used to.
What does that look like, Brian, in terms of going up a level?
I would say you would then attract a model of player, a type of player that will expect a higher value in his bank account, but will then increase the value should his potential be realised, would increase the value for sell-on, because we are under a certain framework in this country. And if you go spending too much, you will be in Rangers' situation. If you don't spend enough, you will win your own league like Celtic, and can that stagnate? As soon as the fans turn away, and I'm not saying Celtic fans or Rangers fans will, but as soon as the product is not as pretty on the park, the fans will turn away from football. That is a guarantee until we get our product right on the park. That does not need to be spending multiple millions, though.
Well, first of all, Brian, I have paid tribute to Celtic's business model, unsurpassed in Scottish football terms. That's why they have so much money in the bank. I've also said that they have done very well with the two goalkeepers. There's a real strategy there. You can see it there. I just think that given the money that Celtic do have, that the return so far, Paulo Bernardo was there last season. So you haven't moved forward, you just brought in someone who was there last season. If Adam Ida's club are asking too much money, fine, ignore them. But the fans are surely entitled, given the wherewithal that Celtic have, to think that there would be another striker that Celtic could bring in to move the club forward. And the other dimension to the club, Europe. Europe for Celtic in recent years has been an embarrassment. And you surely want to have that enhanced. You want your reputation enhanced again in Europe, to mean something in Europe. Not to participate in the Champions League, to compete in the Champions League. And as things stand, Celtic will not do that. But
how much money would Celtic need to spend, though, to be a team? Whatever competing in the Champions League means, how much money would they have to spend? Brian talks about, you know, going up a level in terms of wages. That's got to be a hard one to juggle, because if all of a sudden Celtic go out and spend big money on two players, smash their wage structure, then all of a sudden you'll have some of the top earners already at Celtic that have contributed to a lot of trophies over the years saying, well, you know, I feel I deserve that, I should be on that wage structure.
Yeah.
Spending big money on two players, how many extra points is that going to get you in the Champions League group stage? It doesn't guarantee you getting through. It's a tough one to juggle.
Celtic, and they have proved this for two decades now, Celtic are too smart to ever get themselves into financial trouble. Therefore, Celtic will know their ceiling, but they are entitled, the supporters, to think that there's room for a little pushing out of boats here. Not to sign a player for £20 million, that will never ever happen. But to sign a player at a reasonable amount of money without smashing the wage structure to smithereens. But I think they are entitled to think that the club will move forward. Bernardo does not move the club forward. He was there last season. The goalkeepers are replacing Sigrist and Hart, who were there last season. So to bring it down to statistical terms, you're still one short, because Ida was there last season, isn't there now, and there's a gap where Ida used to sit.
Brian?
I would return with this, Hugh. You can look at Europe as a barometer. I mean, I think that's a nostalgic thing for a time when the level playing field. But I can take you back to an argument I think we had at the time. Paris Saint-Germain spanked us 7-1. And then it was, oh, you should be buying players. And I'm sure you and I had a ding-dong about this. And then about a fortnight later, Paris Saint-Germain was on and beat Bayern Munich 5-0, whose Bayern Munich's back line cost £230 million. So the expectations in Europe, they're so out of there. And you know, I know what you're saying. If we go and buy that player who could make a difference, we can do that one or... But we're not doing this sustained. It's about bringing the players that are going to be up a wee touch. I would say, you know, if you go up in the bracket that we can't get just now.
Let me ask you this then, Brian. Would you be happy if there were no signings as of now, this evening? Would you be happy if there were no signings between now and the beginning of the season, and indeed the end of the transfer window? Would you be happy with that?
No, I wouldn't, Hugh. I wouldn't be at all, because that would be a silly part of the business. But what I'm not one of these supporters that needs to know 6 weeks before the window shuts why we haven't got that position covered, that position covered.
No, the clubs don't need to. No club needs to detail their business to the fans, because it alerts other clubs to what business they are doing. All I'm saying is, and you answered the question categorically, would you be happy if no signings were made? And you said, no, you would not be happy. And my other contention with regard to the European question is that Celtic Park, on the four occasions when Celtic play in the Champions League, will be at capacity. And Celtic will sell packages, and they will pitch them at a level that is manageable for the fans. But I think when you buy these packages, you might like to think that for your money, you'll get a competitive game. You will not be participating, you'll be competing.
Well, thank you to Brian. Still time to get your calls in. Maybe you've got some thoughts as a Kilmarnock or a St Mirren fan. We're maybe going to hear a bit from Willie Collum as well on the plans for refereeing in the new season. While you get your calls in on 0141 951 1025, I'll tell you about this, because this is the type of thing that can help you during the summer. Maybe you've got some young kids that are climbing the walls, and, well, head over to Clyde1.com, because we've got a ton of prizes and offers available for local attractions. You can keep the kids entertained. One of them is the Scottish Football Museum, which is based at the National Stadium, Hampden Park. As someone that has lived through the entire history of Scottish football, yeah, Hugh, that's the type of thing that you'd love.
Oh, listen, I've been in the museum, and it's a terrific place. Absolutely. I mean, it's for me, you know, I mean, I'm the king of nostalgia in here. But it's a wonderful experience.
Yeah, you can walk through the turnstiles of former Hampden Ground. You can sit in the original dressing room. You can see the oldest national football trophy as well, which is, of course, the Scottish Cup. It's a great day out, as well as seeing the sights of the museum. You can enjoy a stadium tour. You can get coffee and lunch in the Hampden Cafe as well. So right now, head over to Schools Out Summer page. Schools Out for Summer page at Clyde1.com. Click the Scottish Football Museum tab. You can find out all about the museum, and you can nominate a primary school of your choice to receive a full class visit to the stadium as well.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Listen and watch. Check the Twitter feed at Clyde SSB. 0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Still time for you to get your calls in. 0141 951 1025. You can tweet us at Clyde SSB as well. Let's take a look at two big games last night, two of our clubs in European action. Let's start with Kilmarnock and their draw against Cercle Bruges.
Thoroughly enjoyed the game. And I think Kilmarnock have a tough away leg coming up because, you know, this was Bruges playing on a pitch which they had said, their manager had said, was in a bad way. But I thought going forward, they were electric. And I think they'd be a bit of a handful. Kilmarnock did have chances as well, of course. Vassell was giving the Belgian defence all manner of problems. But it just had a good watch.
Yeah, they looked good towards the end. Kilmarnock as well had a good few chances. Kyle Vassell with a header that came off the post. They were the side in the ascendancy. Dennett McInnes was saying that he felt if they played for another 5 minutes or so that Kilmarnock could have got that goal.
We need Kilmarnock and St Mirren to do well. As indeed we need Rangers and Celtic to do well because the coefficient's getting into a bit of a state and the national side's not helping. And further down the line, next season, the one thereafter, our participation in Europe is going to be badly affected unless we get that coefficient table in better order. So you wish Kilmarnock every success in Belgium. I just think that they're going to have to defend really well on the night. And Robbie McCrory had some terrific saves last night and one or two blunders along the way. But he's finding his feet after years of sitting on a subs bench. They'll need to be very, very resilient if they are to get through.
Well, St Mirren feel a bit disappointed that they didn't come away with the win, given the chances they had, but also encouraged going into a home leg in a sold-out stadium.
The atmosphere at the Kilmarnock last night, the size of the crowd, terrific to see. It would be the same in Paisley when Valour get there. You know, Stephen Robinson must be extremely frustrated. They had so many chances. They missed so many cut chances. And, you know, I think the atmosphere, as well as their own ability, will get St Mirren through in the second leg.
Well, lots to get through tonight. Let's hear a bit from Willie Collum, shall we? Because a lot of fanfare made of the fact that he was taking over from Crawford Allen as the Scottish FA's new head of referees. Today was the first day he'd come out and spoken to the media. He did a bit with the SFA as well, just speaking to... He's been around, you know, the last week or so, speaking to clubs, speaking to the media, speaking to different stakeholders. This is what he had to say today on what was a very contentious thing last season, the handball law. He says they're putting a big emphasis on changing how they interpret the handball law.
So it's been a busy few months, obviously getting ready for the new season, and we want to we've engaged with our stakeholders, primarily that is of course the referees, the top referees, and also the coaches and the players, and we've listened to the voice of people. I also think we've listened to the voice of fans, because we know that, for example, last season there was a lot of debate, a lot of controversy in the media and by spectators about handball. So we've tried to realign our handball interpretation more in line with our football expectation, football understanding, but with the support of the referees and also with the support of the clubs and the coaches. So we think we're in a better place for that. So we think there'll be a better approach taken to not only handball, but the intervention of VAR run about handball. But I'm well aware that it's only the top league operate with VAR, so with the top league, we're still talking about that interpretation with VAR. We want to make it much clearer. We want to make it more consistent. I've been very open and transparent in telling people there'll be outliers, though. There'll be decisions that are very much in a grey area that we need to accept in football. But in general, we want it more consistent with the handball. We want it to be much clearer and much more aligned to that football expectation, football understanding.
Yeah, those phrases that Willie Collum used in terms of a football expectation, a football understanding, essentially it looks as if they want to look at handballs and apply more common sense to it, I think, because there were certainly a few incidents that there was a lot of debate, a lot of controversy last season that it seemed at times that nobody agreed with some of the decisions, but Willie Collum has been out speaking to players, speaking to managers, and they want to completely change how they look at things.
First of all, I applaud Willie for being high profile, for going out, because the fans appreciate transparency. Once the season starts and there's a goal disallowed for their team, then they'll call Willie for everything, but that's human nature. There was one afternoon last season, a Sunday afternoon in Edinburgh, that encapsulated the whole business. When Tomoki Iwata of Celtic was adjudged to have handled the ball and the Hearts were awarded a penalty, it was a transparent nonsense. It was part of the reason why Brendan Rodgers felt moved to describe the officials, referee and video assistant referee, as incompetent. Now, presumably, Willie Collum is willing to say that that particular call, if we can just bring it all down to that one call, if Willie Collum is now prepared to say, yeah, that's just not right and that won't happen next season, then we've got a good start, because there were decisions, handball decisions, that were not just Tomoki Iwata and Celtic, other handball decisions involving other clubs that were a transparent nonsense.
A lot of people felt that there was too much involvement with VAR. It was too visible. It, you know, impacted games too much. Willie Collum speaking today, saying that he hopes that the way they use it, it'll be more sparingly. It won't be, you know, as invasive as it was last season. I think that will be thankful. You know, everyone will be thankful for that. And on top of that, he says he will welcome any way that the lawmakers want to help them communicate to fans as well, to have a better fan experience in the stadium.
Yeah, I think, you know, people endlessly went on last season about how the match day experience has been changed. You can't celebrate a goal, because no sooner have you had your celebration than they chalk it off. Or if they allow it to stand, you get two celebrations. I understand that. But if Willie can make it less invasive, and that's a great word, because it was too invasive, it spoiled everything. If Willie can make it less like that, then he is well on the way to being credited with changing Scottish football for the better. It was just too often wrong, and too often a frustration for fans who didn't buy into football for those reasons.
And that's the thing. We are never going to agree on everything. Nope. That's just how we work in this part of the world. But there can be changes that can be made that can help. And look, it's not gonna work for everyone, but it could work for some.
Well, I'll wait until the 3rd of August. I'll wait until Hearts kick off against Rangers. And I'll wait to see all the decisions that day. And by the end of that game, we'll be able to know if interpretation has changed for the better within Scottish football.
Well, that's all we've got time for tonight. Thank you for listening in. Thank you for your calls. Thank you for your tweets. Thank you to Hugh Keevans in the studio. Thanks for listening in for the one-hour shows during the summer. We are back to the two-hour format on Monday night from 6 o'clock. Gordon Duncan will be back, and we will be building up to the first league weekend of the season. The competitive action has already started, but this is the start of the real stuff, building up to that first league weekend of the season. I'm looking forward to it. I'm sure you are as well. Remember, you can catch up on all the shows wherever you get your podcasts. You can watch the whole thing back on YouTube, on Facebook and Twitter by searching Clyde 1 SSB. And stay right there, the perfect way to start your weekend. It's the GBX.
This is Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard.